Well, thanks so much for having me out, and I'm excited to share with you some of the earliest results from my PhD work looking at branching architecture and some scaling exponents for allometric relationships in fruit trees. Right at the bottom, you'll see my Twitter handle if you're excited about what I'm talking about. Definitely share out what I'm talking about. I'm going to start by saying something very obvious to all of you in the audience. Fruit trees are grown in all shapes and sizes. We have bushy, tall canopies, as we see in the upper left-hand corner of tart cherries. To the right there, we have a tiny apple, which is on a dwarfing rootstock. We can see in the lower left, that's a peach tree that's grown on a very flat plane. All sorts of shapes and sizes. They're grown far apart and close together. We see all of these from a couple hundred per acre to the thousands. The aim of growers are to maximize fruit quantity and quality while reducing the amount of resources required. You can see three varieties here, an apple, a peach, and a cherry. We have to do those management by mechanically doing thinning with up to 25% of the biomass taken each year. We also have chemical thinning, which requires me and my techs to wear spray suits when doing our work. However, despite all of these differences among tree species and management practices, some fundamental aspects of tree growth and tree physiology are conserved between fruit species. One very obvious and intuitive relationship that we see is more light and more leaves ultimately lead to more growth. This relationship here being shown is the mass of photosynthate, or mass of leaves, as it relates to growth rate, and we see a relatively strong one-to-one relationship. So more leaves is isometrically related to the growth of that year. These relationships are described by the metabolic theory of ecology, which essentially suggests that there's conservation within allometric relationships across plant species. From the smallest photosynthesizing organisms, the plankton, to the largest, the redwood trees, we're describing similar scaling exponents within these organisms. The model that's being shown here is Wes Brown Anquist, who posit a simplified pipe branching model, something that we're all familiar with. A bifurcating model is essentially self-similar and can describe generally the relationships of branching structure in trees. So this is a nice example that I like to use for a bifurcating tree. This is a peach tree in a backyard orchard, and intuitively it looks pretty fun. We see some simplified branching. However, for any of you in the audience who know how to prune peach trees, if this continues for much longer, we get a tree that looks like that, with all the fruit just up at the top. And so, although it's idealized and it looks nice and fun, it's nice and simplified, it doesn't give us the sort of fruit quality that we're looking for. So this is a peach tree grown in Guilford, Connecticut, and it has a similar shape to that previous one, but there's a couple extra things going on that ultimately make it viable for the fruit industry. Essentially, the fruiting wood is being recycled within that ideal canopy range. So I have used agricultural systems to test the metabolic theory of ecology. So in these heavily managed, heavily pruned systems, do we still see the relationships that we found in forest ecosystems? And so for about 3 years, I meticulously cut down one branch at a time of a number of tart cherry and apple trees at the Kaysville Research Center in Utah State University. And so you can see in the picture on the left, I've tagged each of the branch segments, and I'm just about to cut down that last segment from the tree. Each of those segments, I have data on branch diameter, branch length, biomass, and ultimately I did this project just so that I can use a chainsaw to cut down the trunks. I have some spatially explicit data also where I went down to the twig level. You can see the picture on the lower right. And so I'm able to digitally reconstruct a subset of these trees in a computer environment and have that tree that I cut down revisualized. This is what it looks like. The two on the left and the center are apple trees from the NC-140 apple trial of Brent Black at Kaysville Research Center. So the one on the left is of the smallest rootstocks that were represented there, the Budgorsky 9. And you can see over 8 years, it has much smaller growth to the one in the center, which is a PIAU 5653. And despite both of these trees being 8 years old, they have very different growth and structure to their canopies. On the right is the tart cherry that I worked in. This is a 24-year-old tree. It has a net because I tried to collect the leaves. And you can also see from the digital reconstruction that it has a lot more branches in its canopy. So these are some of the predictions of the metabolic theory of ecology. What I'm focusing on, at least for the first pass, is the biomechanical relationships. And so mass versus diameter here is a 8/3 exponent. And we can just read down the list slowly. I'll go through them in more detail following. But what I want to bring your attention to is those exponents, so the 8/3, the 2/3, and the 1/4. Depending on your take on the matter, you either fall into the biomechanical camp, which happens to be the 1/3 scaling relationships, or the hydraulic camp, which happens to be the 1/4 power scaling. And so we'll see how some of that works out in my data. So I'm going to show a number of figures that look very similar to this. What you want to bring your attention to is the prediction in the center on the top, so that 8/3, and then the 95% confidence interval is in the parentheses below. And so 8/3, for all of you who can't do the math right away in your head, is 2.67. And so the confidence intervals including 2.67 suggest that my data statistically does not deviate from the expectation. And so what you see on the x-axis is trunk diameter on a log scale, and on the y-axis is total stem mass on a log scale. And excitingly, despite two species being on this figure, 19 apple trees in black and 5 cherry trees in red, we see that these expectations from forest ecosystems are being strongly conserved despite human manipulation and management. One thing that I want to point out in this graph in particular, that bold line in the up left, top left-hand corner of the figure is the 8/3 with a intercept of 0. And anything above that 8/3 is no longer able to hold up its own weight. So that's the self-loading limitation of trees. If you have a branch that exceeds that 8/3 relationship, it's going to fall off the tree. So what I just showed you was the figure for individual trees, and this is individual branches. So all of the red dots are the branches that I measured from the tart cherry trees, and then the number of different rootstocks are the remaining rainbow of colors. And once again, although the relationship isn't as good, we still explain 90% of the variation within the branching mass to diameter relationship. This relationship doesn't necessarily get at that 2.67. It's a little smaller than what we would see, but it's exciting to see that the relationship as a whole, the allometry, is being conserved. So this is the length versus diameter relationship, the 2/3 expectation. And what we're seeing is with this relationship with length, we see a little bit less explanatory power of just the allometry. So the 6.3 to 8.8 is a little bit higher than the 0.67 that we would expect, but still statistically we include that expectation of two-thirds. The branch level shows a similar relationship, and here we start seeing a little bit more variation. So it's interesting to see what might be going on. I suspect that when we prune, we basically take the bushiness away from a tree and force the tree to grow a bit longer, and that's what we're seeing. Each individual branch per diameter has a little bit longer length than would be expected by the metabolic theory. So this is the length versus mass relationship. We would look for 0.25 within the confidence intervals, and it does contain that relationship. Again, moderately strong, and so we sort of ask our questions, how does this deviation relate to human manipulation? And again, what I'd suspect is that as we prune, we are forcing a tree to put out vigorous shoots, which might ultimately be less dense in their wood density. Branch level data, again, just sort of putting home that point that these relationships are pretty well aimed at the expectation, but of all the ones that I've showed you so far, this is the least in line with our expectations. So it does, the confidence interval does not include the 0.25, and the R-squared is the lowest that we've seen at 0.63. So what's going on here? Seems like pruning has an effect in some ways on that wood density, like I was suggesting before. This one I'm very excited to show you. Despite the lower R-squared value, it really gets at a point that I will be making in the next bit of my analysis, which is the way that I see it, there are two main types of branches. There are main supporting branches, the scaffolds, and there are the lateral fruiting branches, which you can kind of see if you squint your eyes here in this picture. There are two slopes, one below the bold line and one above the bold line, and I would suggest that ratio here that we're showing of parent diameter to daughter diameter, the slower taper is happening below the line where we have our scaffolds, and above the line is the much faster taper where we have a small branch being connected to a very large branch, which is what that upper trajectory is showing. Last here, the lengths. Just to sort of suggest that lengths is essentially what is pushing these models to be a little bit less predictive. And so something's going on with the lengths, and actually there's some new advancements happening within the metabolic theory of ecology that I'm working on with this data that might get after why lengths deviate so much from this prediction. So I'm excited to say that overall the predictions of the metabolic theory of ecology are conserved, at least statistically at this point, within orchard fruit species, despite all the human manipulation and management that we put to them. And from a broad perspective anyways, the deviations at the branch level reveal signs of management. And I'm excited to go deeper and figure out how that might relate to some of the horticultural applications that some little extra information in this theory might be able to provide for pruning and fruit management. Just to go through what it is that I found, diameter and mass is strongly conserved. We're really fitting that eight-thirds relationship, and everything's below that self-loading limit to stay away from that buckling. Length and diameter is moderately conserved, but that two-thirds to three-quarter powers that I was suggesting in the two biomechanical and hydraulic camps aren't necessarily able to be distinguished right now, and hopefully a further analysis will get at what it is that we're seeing. I'd suggest that the deviation from the expectation is a result of vigorous shoots that are following pruning. Again, length and mass is moderately conserved, but we're having a hard time distinguishing between our hydraulic and biomechanical models, and wood density might be lowered following pruning. Diameter ratio is moderately consistent again, but I gave you a few details as to why we might see some deviation from those expectations, the difference between structural branches and fruiting branches. Just quickly, I'd like to let you know what I'm up to. In the future, working on a spatially explicit model, adding some canopy variation in, for the scaling exponents, and non-destructive morphology for yields and light interception, which I did this year at the Utah County tart cherry industry. This is all that I'm doing to make that work, and hopefully I can share with you a bit of time. Looks like I went over time, I apologize. Hopefully I can field questions afterwards.